Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
I want to invite you to reflect for just a moment about how someone else's relationship with God has changed you. I want you to notice how your life has been shaped by someone else's experience. There are maybe some obvious examples. Your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teachers. Maybe these are folks who have given you language that you have used your whole life to describe who God is or what God is like in your life. Or maybe they've saddled you with dogmas and judgments that you bristle at still. Or maybe they gave you an example that you realized years later had changed and shaped you. Or, bearing in mind, of course, that not everybody here tonight thinks about God in the same way I do, you can substitute the word divine or truth or reality or whatever fits in that sentence there. And I notice it's often easier for us to find God in somebody else's life if they are your grandparents or your grandkids. That two-generation gap is usually about the right distance for really recognizing who God is in someone's life. Well, Joseph has to make room for an experience of God that is a lot closer to home in that passage that Carol just read for us. His fiancée, Mary, has turned up pregnant, but Joseph will have a special role in the birth of this Jesus. Now, I want to be clear, the birth of Jesus would have happened with or without Joseph. Mary already had her own visit from an angel offstage in this telling of the story. And that's maybe a reminder for us that there is nothing we can do or nothing that we need to do to make Christmas happen, whether as a holiday or as God's birth for us in Jesus Christ. And yet, Joseph is invited into this special role because of his relationship with Mary. The angel invites Joseph really to adopt Jesus into the line of Israel's great king David. A little bit of history here. Many people at the time of Jesus' birth expected that there would be a Messiah, a Savior, an anointed one who would come as a successor to the great Old Testament king David. And so the gospel calls Jesus, among other things, Son of David. But first, the angel calls Joseph, son of David. He is the only character other than Jesus to get that name. And his role as the son of David is to go through with this marriage to Mary. His role as the son of David is to adopt his stepson and connect him into the line of David. Now, adoption was fairly common in the ancient world. We met Moses this fall, who was adopted, if you were here on Sunday mornings. And adoption happened then for a lot of the same reasons that adoption happens these days. But adoption also happened for some additional reasons, some imperial and religious reasons. The Roman emperor at the time of Jesus' birth had been legally adopted by the emperor before him in order to be the heir, to become the emperor. And what's more, the emperor claimed that he was the adopted son of the god Jupiter. He called himself the son of God. And then this story goes the other direction. The son of God, well, Jesus is already the son of God, but he is adopted to become as well the son of David. He's adopted into this household of humanity. Now, there's a lot of patriarchy involved in needing a human father in order to legitimate Jesus' role as a member of David's family. And this story is not the same as many of the adoption stories that many of us have known. But we also know that Jesus' story, it undoes those dominating structures of patriarchy. Jesus' story undoes and refigures what family itself even means. God's action in the world usually upsets the status quo, but it starts within the ways of the world as we understand it. That's part of what the incarnation means. God comes to us in the world as we find it already. And that brings us back to that bigger point, that when we welcome God who is in the world already, when we welcome God who is present even in somebody else's relationship with God, well, it undoes us too, and it leads us closer to God. So just like Joseph, we are invited tonight to make room for somebody else's relationship with God. We're invited to let that relationship change our life too for the good of the world around us. I think about my Sunday school teacher tonight. My Sunday school teacher could answer every question any third grader could possibly have, including how could we fit all of these different Bible stories together into one great, big, grand narrative. And she never quit serving or sharing or creating, and she never, ever quit smiling. And I remember that she had an eye for the simple grace of this Christmas story. The simple grace of this story, without dismissing its drama or its excitement, especially during that Christmas pageant. But she showed what it's like to dive fully but gently into this beautiful story of God's presence in Jesus Christ. By diving into this story, we experience it all over again. I experienced Jesus' presence differently than she did, but she was always curious about that too, and her experience is still with me as well. So here's an invitation, especially when we are gathered with family or friends or strangers or all of the above, an invitation to notice how God, the divine truth, reality, how God is present in somebody else's life. And I invite you to welcome how that presence leads to grace in your own life as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Wildwood Hills Ranch exists to transform lives and strengthen communities by providing healing, hope, and God's unconditional love to children and youth at risk. Youth at risk are less likely to transition successfully into adulthood. Poverty is a major predictor of trouble, and 75% of ranchers at Wildwood Hills Ranch come from families living at or below the poverty line. Children served by the ranch may also suffer from physical and/or sexual abuse, neglect, parental drug and alcohol abuse, gang violence, instability in family relationships, and the absence of one or both parents, and many are in foster care. The ranch identifies children in need through partnerships with organizations such as the Department of Human Services, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs, Hope Ministries, and local schools. Attending Wildwood Hills Ranch events helps break cycles of poverty, abuse, and neglect. Ranch programs prepare around 1,000 at-risk students every year with new life skills, confidence, and hope, so they can go back into their community and have a transformational impact. Kids learn life skills, values, leadership, and financial literacy. Interaction with horses helps at-risk students learn about themselves and others. Equestrian therapy is also provided for families, veterans, and active service members. Our support and contributions directly provide funding for these individuals to experience the safe haven and life transformation that the ranch's programming provides. Your contributions are used to help build a better world, one child at a time.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.